Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would love for you to stay tuned. 30 minutes of news, views, and interviews, and mostly information that you can use. That's information from the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, it's a show about the Bible, but not like anything you've ever heard before. No stomping, no yelling, no shouting, no hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell you something. We don't have anything for you to join. All we really have is something to give you, and that's truth. Truth from the Word of God. A no-nonsense approach to seeing what the Bible has to say about you and for you and your life in today's times. The Flatline. We've been on the air now for 5 years in many stations across the United States. And if you'll stick with us, if you'll listen, you will learn how to utilize the tremendous problem-solving devices that God has in His Word for you. There are at least 10 of them that we can identify on this radio show. Maybe you've heard me say that the outside pressure of adversity is inevitable, but the inside pressure of stress is optional. And that's because adversity is what circumstances do to you. And stress, well, that's just what you do to yourself. You do not have to have a stress-filled life. By that, I simply mean this. You don't have to live a life of worry. You don't have to live a life of fear. You do not have to live a life of guilt or intimidation. There is a better way to live, and it's called the Christian life. It's a phenomenal lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that Jesus Christ, our anointed Savior, that He pioneered when He came into this world in hypostatic union, when God became man. The God-man, Jesus Christ, walked among us and lived His life as a human being, and He was tempted like us, because He lived in a body just like the body we have. And today He is in heaven in a body awaiting the shouted orders from God the Father to return to take us home to be with Him there. Until that happens, He's left us a legacy, a phenomenal way of living, a tremendous power, because He said when He went away that He would send His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit would be our, quote, tour guide, our paraclete. Not parakeet like a bird, but a paraclete. You say, what is a paraclete? Well, that's the Greek word for the Holy Spirit mentoring us or tutoring us in the words of Jesus Christ. When you hear the Word of God, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth behind that. It helps you to make the application into your life, and it gives you the power to overcome sin and testing that you face in your life every day. So if you'll stick with me on the Flatline, I promise you I won't try to get you to join anything, and I'll never ask you for any money, but I will give you some powerful information that will help you see and begin to understand how the Christian life really functions and really works. Often I speak in churches and I meet a lot of people that go through the ritual of worship when there is no reality to it. And it's a shame that people go through this constantly in their life, ritual, with no reality, because, in fact, that's meaningless. So there has to be something to it. It's called the spiritual life. And actually, when you talk about the spiritual life, it's not just lived on Sunday. It's lived 7 days a week inside of you. Because, you see, if you're a Christian, if you have made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have been born again. You have received a new life. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So here you are on planet Earth walking around in the old body. You can look in the mirror and see that you're still the same person. But inside, there's a new person. You have been born spiritually. You've had a spiritual birth. And that spiritual birth has given you the ability to have fellowship with God and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, God's intention is for you to grow. The Bible even implores us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So just like a child must grow at home under the mentorship and the tutelage of his parents, so we grow as Christians, and we grow by learning God's word and applying God's word into our life and going through testing as we are refined by fire, the Bible says, until we become the finished product that God intends for us to be. Because it is through you and through me that God represents his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is through us that we represent him to this world. And so as we talk about the things that we talk about on this radio show, it is all designed for one reason, so that you can effectively represent Christ to your family and to your friends, and yes, even to your nation. The Flatline is a show about dedicated Bible study. It's not some frill show. It's not some show where we're not some talk show. We're not a dialogue. We're a monologue. But it's me giving you accurate information. If you'll get your Bible open, if you'll stick with me, you'll see some tremendous things. I mentioned the 10 problem-solving devices. When you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, they form a flot line in your soul. FLOT, F-L-O-T, is a military acronym for the forward line of troops. And yes, God wants you to establish an invisible forward line of troops in the front compartment of your soul. What does this mean? This is an analogy. That's what it means. It means that by learning these 10 problem-solving devices, you can stop the outside pressure of adversity before it ever begins to be the inside pressure of stress. That you can intercept these things in your life and stop them before you react and make some goofy decision or some mistake that you regret for the rest of your life. Anytime you get into some adverse situation, you can react or you can respond. By responding using the problem-solving devices found in the Bible, well, then you're guaranteed to have a life full of joy. And that's what Jesus Christ said. I've come that my joy might be in you. You know, the one thing the Lord wants you to have is complete happiness in your life. He did not come to make you unhappy. He came to fulfill your life. And so by learning these problem-solving devices, you have the chance to have the greatest life of all. Now, as a Christian, what's my greatest problem? Well, my greatest problem is that I sin, and you do as well, don't you? We all sin. And when I'm talking about sin, different people think about different things. Maybe someone would think about sin in terms of a drunk, or maybe someone would think about sin in terms of an adulterer, or maybe someone would think about sin in terms of a thief. Well, there are more sins than that. The Bible says, actually, sin can be categorized in three categories: something you think, something you say, or even something that you do. Yes, thinking can be a sin. Sometimes people say, well, give me an illustration of that. Well, how about worry? Worry is definitely a sin. The Bible says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Worrying is a sin, and it's done in the mind. You don't even have to open your mouth to worry. Also, gossip, slander, maligning, criticizing, lying. These are all sins of the tongue, and they as well need to be dealt with. And then we have the overt or the open or the actual sins like drunkenness and adultery and murder and stealing. So what does a Christian do? Number one question is, once I become a Christian, can I still sin? And the answer is obviously yes. Paul said in Romans 7:15, I don't understand myself at all. Because I don't do what I want to do, I in fact keep doing what I don't want to do. Well, you see, the problem is we still have a sin nature. Even though we're born again, even though we're going to heaven, we have in this human body a sin nature, the nature that we receive from Adam, Adam's original nature. And that's the power of the sin nature in our life. And so once you become a Christian, you have a struggle. This is what I had to learn very early in my Christian life, because sometimes I felt like a winner and sometimes I felt like a loser. Sometimes I felt like two different people. Why could I do the good things on some days and why did I do the bad things on the other days? And I didn't understand that I still had a sin nature. And that sin nature was always there within me. And that sin nature had different lust patterns that it would go to. And if I let my sin nature take control, if I let it out of the box, so to say, then I would go right back and do what I did before I even became a Christian. Now, I learned there's a better way to live. And the better way to live is to keep the sin nature in the box, to not let it control me anymore. You see, before I became a Christian, I didn't have a choice. The sin nature was always in control of me. Now that I had accepted Christ, and now that I had believed in Him, and now that the Holy Spirit had come to live inside of me, I had a choice. I could either walk in the Spirit, or I could walk in the flesh. And so I had to learn how to let the Holy Spirit control my life. And I learned the first problem-solving device. Problem-solving device number one for me is rebound. R-E-B-O-U-N-D. Rebound. That's a basketball term, and it simply means when you bounce out, you bounce back. Bouncing out means that as a Christian, I sin. It will give you a perfect analogy for you. Let's say I'm driving in traffic, and all of a sudden someone cuts me off, or they begin to tailgate me, or they get angry with me, and they make an obscene gesture when they go by. I have a sin nature, and I get irritated, and I get mad. And if my sin nature takes control, then I want to go run them down. You see, it's called road rage. I bet you've had it before. I bet you've faced that in your life. Or maybe if someone challenges you or breaks in line in front of you or does something that you don't like, you get hot and mad and angry. That's your sin nature boiling up inside of you. You have to learn to control that thing. And so the first thing I have to learn is that temptation is not sin. But when I do sin, when I know that I have committed a sin such as anger, when I know that I've lost my temper, when I know I've gotten mad, then I have to go to the Father and rebound. And therefore, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all wrongdoing. So there never is a day in my life that I don't have to rebound. And I don't wait till I go to bed at night to do it. That's not even smart. Why would I want to sin at 8:30 in the morning driving into work, and then at 8:30 at night before I go to bed get on my knees and confess my sin? Because that means I've let my sin nature control me all the day long. So when do you rebound? You rebound immediately, as soon as you realize that you've committed a sin. Because God holds us responsible for every decision that we make. And when we sin, we have to take responsibility for that sin. And sometimes, it even includes a little discipline to go along with it, where God has to take us to the woodshed and say, look, boy, you don't need to be doing that, and just so you remember it next time, bend over. And I've had the Father do that to me, and you probably have too. We don't like going to the woodshed with God. And so when we know we've sinned, when we realize we've committed a mental attitude sin, or even a sin of the tongue, or perhaps a actual sin, we must go to God and admit it and be faithful to tell Him. Because if we will do that, He will cleanse us from it. He promised if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That's 1 John 1:9, a tremendous problem-solving device. So I don't care what's in your life. I don't care what you've done. Maybe there's something that happened in your life 20 years ago, and you keep that harbored back there, and you've put it in a closet. It's your little skeleton in the closet, and you've gone to God many times, and you've asked Him to forgive you many times, and you thought that He hasn't done it yet. And then when something unfortunate happens to your life, then maybe you think God's trying to get even with you about that. Don't lower God to your standards. It's not the way that He operates. The first time you went to your Heavenly Father and you admitted your sin, He forgave you. He cleansed you. But you didn't forgive yourself. You carried your guilt with you. And it's that guilt that Satan uses to manipulate us. It's the guilt the old sin nature will play on to try to get us to assuage our guilt through some sort of legalism. some sort of human good works, some sort of spiritual propaganda that we can buy God off by doing this or giving this, and hopefully he'll make the bad feelings go away. The bad feelings should go away when you confess the sin to God, because that's when it went away in God's eyes. He doesn't remember it. He doesn't keep it in a ledger. You're not going to be shown all of your sins when you get to heaven. The movie projector's not going to be rolling, and they're not going to be selling popcorn, and we're not all going to be watching all of your failures and all of your frustrations and your embarrassing times. No, that's what Christ died for. He paid for all of your sins. Your sins are not an issue. The issue is, what think ye of Christ? That's the issue. Now, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, and if you do not accept him as your Savior, well, then your sin will become an issue, because you will have to pay for it yourself. Yes, he has paid for your sin. The Bible says that he was your substitute, that he took your place. But if you reject the forgiveness that Christ offers, then you will be at the great white throne of judgment trying to exonerate your own self. And you will try to do it by means of your works, and that's not going to cut it. And then you will try to do it by saying, well, what about my names in the Lamb's Book of Life? I mean, look, I was in Sunday school, and I went to church, and it's not there. Because you never trusted Christ. You trusted in your religion. You trusted in your denomination. You trusted in your good works to save you, to deliver you. And the Bible says it's faith alone, in Christ alone. If you've never made that decision, I urge you to simply, humbly, quietly pray and tell your Heavenly Father that you are believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you was enough, and that you're willing to trust his finished work for your salvation. That's what God is looking for. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I don't know what skeleton may be in your closet. I've got a few in mine. But whatever it is, I know God has forgiven me, because I know I haven't hidden it from him. And I don't have to carry around the guilt and the pain. Sure, there are decisions that I wish I hadn't made, just like there are decisions that you wish you hadn't made. But those decisions do not have to burden us when we know that God has forgiven us and cleansed us. So problem-solving device number one is rebound. Problem-solving device number two is the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we rebound. When we name our sin to God, then we are instantaneously filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, there are either one or two power systems you're going to operate under in your life. You're either going to operate under the old sin nature, or you're going to operate under the Holy Spirit. That is, if you're a Christian. If you've accepted Christ, either you let the old sin nature control your life, or you let the Holy Spirit control your life. Now, the old sin nature can be deceptive, because he has an area of strength and he has an area of weakness. The old sin nature can be nice, he can be good, he can be manipulative, he can be evil and nasty and mean. Whenever you let your old sin nature out of the box, he's going to do whatever he has to do to stay in control of your life. You can't see him. You might not even know he's there. But he's there. That's what you got from Adam. For by one man sin came into the world. That's it. And then death by sin. You see, that's what Adam gave you. You got the relationship with Adam. And because you're a human, you got that old sin nature. Now, that old sin nature is not going to go to heaven, I promise you. That's why you have to die. The reason we have to die is to take off this corrupted body and put on another body of incorruption. It's called a resurrection body. And in the resurrection body, there will not be a sin nature. Thank goodness for that. And there will not be a Satan running around heaven to tempt you. Thank goodness for that. But right now, while you're here, the only way you're going to gain victory over Satan, and the only way you're going to gain victory over your sin nature, is to let the Holy Spirit control your life. Therefore, the filling of the Holy Spirit. That term causes a lot of confusion in the Christian world. And the reason is that whole denominations are built up using this phrase. And they emphasize it in a major way. And I'm not going to attempt to unravel all the false doctrine that flows around this country. But I will show you this. I believe what the Bible teaches concerning the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus taught it. Then when he left, he was going to send his Spirit, John 16:7-15. And in Ephesians 1:13, Paul identifies it because he says we are sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. And Galatians 5 says he wants to control you. And thus the Bible says if we will walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is being filled with the Spirit. So these are our options. In other words, we can allow the Holy Spirit to control our life, or we can take control ourselves and follow the desires of our sin nature. The only way you know for sure the Holy Spirit is in control of your life is the fact that you've rebounded. You haven't hidden your sin from God. You might not remember every sin you did, but if you will name the sins you're aware of, God will even cleanse you from the ones you don't remember. You want to hear that verse again? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. 1 John 1:9. This is the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it's important for you to understand that because you cannot grow spiritually if the Holy Spirit is not in control of your life. You cannot fulfill the plan of God for your life in the energy of the flesh. You cannot worship God in the energy of the flesh. You may be in the right place, you might be doing the right thing, but it'll be in a totally in the wrong way. It will not be accepted by God. It will not be honored by God. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how much money you give the church. I don't care how many little old ladies you help across the street. Unless you do it under the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's nothing but human energy. It's nothing but evil. And it will all be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. That simply means you did a lot of right things, but you did them in the wrong way. And what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11 is that we want to have gold, silver, and precious stones because the fire doesn't burn those up. That gold, silver, and precious stones, those are the good deeds. Those are the times you sang in the choir. Those are the times you taught Sunday school. Those are the times that you gave your offering. Those are the times that you visited and witnessed for Christ while you were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is what God can accept. That is what God can use. And that is the only way that you can grow and glorify God in your life. The filling of the Holy Spirit, you must know that your spiritual life is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So either you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in your spiritual life and grow by means of the Word of God that you learn in your soul, or you're going to wander off down the my way highway, letting your old sin nature continue to control your life and never growing spiritually and being constantly under the discipline of God. Now, once the Holy Spirit controls your life, once you begin to let His power dominate you, then you can truly begin to live by faith. The faith rest drill is a wonderful way to live. It's taking the promises of God and using them as a shield to stand behind them. You can read about it in Ephesians 6 where it says, pick up the shield of faith and you can be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one with this. That's a military metaphor that Paul uses to describe the Christian life. See, every Roman soldier had a shield that carried him into battle. That shield protected him from the enemy's arrows and the enemy's spears. And Paul the Apostle tells us that we're to have that same shield, except ours is not made of wood. It's not made of metal. It's made of the Word of God. And it is the Word of God. If we learn it and if we believe it, we can defend ourselves with against the attacks of Satan. So when we lift up our shield, We are protecting ourselves from the outside pressure of adversity. That's why we don't have to have stress on the inside. And that's why Paul said, look, whatever shape I'm in, it doesn't make any difference to me. Whether I have a lot, whether I have a little, doesn't make any difference. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You believe that promise? Are you willing to put your trust in Him? Are you willing to use the Word of God as a shield to protect your fragile soul so that you don't have to worry, so that you don't have to be afraid, so that you don't have to be intimidated or live a life of guilt? It's all in the Bible. There are over 7,000 biblical promises that you can claim, and all of these promises will stabilize you from being afraid or from panicking. That's why it's so important that you learn the Word of God and you see what your options are in the Word of God and you understand how to handle your Christian life. God gave you a phenomenal life. God gave you an incredible life. He gave you a spiritual life. He empowered you with His Holy Spirit. He gave you the Bible or the Word of God that is said to be alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You have every asset that any person could want. What is it about you that doesn't want to use those assets? Why can't you utilize those assets? Why can't you live a victorious life? Part of it is because you're not growing. You're not in the Word of God. You're not learning the Word of God. Because in order for the Holy Spirit to empower you, He must have God's Word. It is God's Word that's the tablet, the fuel that the Holy Spirit uses to keep you going. This takes you to problem-solving device number 4, grace orientation. Living by grace, growing in grace, treating people in grace, orienting to the grace of God is a phenomenal thing. For example, we know that we're saved by grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. So when we are saved by grace, then we live by grace. And that means that we don't earn God's salvation by being nice, and we don't earn God's approval in the Christian life by being little Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to act right. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Christian life is not a system of do-goodism. And salvation is not a system of approbating God because you gave up peanut butter or you gave up Coca-Cola or you gave up whatever. That doesn't approbate God. God is not bought off by something that we do. God was paid off, if you might say, by what Christ did. He bought us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He laid His life down as a substitute. And he that knew no sin became sin. And the justice of God judged him. And he paid for your sin and mine. Thus, the only way we can ever have peace with God is through Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. So that's saved by grace. There's much, much more to say. And I hope you'll hang in here with me. Because until next week, this is Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.